In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our redeeming. Amen. So tonight is the night. The annual baseball gala called the All-Star Game. And it's the best of the best gathered to show their wares, to produce not only for their peers but for the public, all over around the world. And yet within that group of baseball players, the media, some of us as fans, will always linger the doubt. Is this really the best group of athletes in this particular situation? There will be events that take place in this game or any other game or any other event for that matter where we wonder, should things have been done differently? Was this the right person for the right task? A whole city like ours last year in a World Series game was affected, brought from the heights of glory to the depths of despair in one umpire baseball call. We put so much emphasis, don't we, on the things of this world. That is the joy of being able to live in God's creation, but it's also the mixed up priority system that many of us have. The emphasis placed on things that are so natural and often so passionate. But it's a part of the sinful world in which we live. And it goes beyond baseball games and judges' decisions. It gets to the very core of so much of who we are and what makes up our life. Because all of us doubt. All of us wonder. Some of us in the middle of summer school today are wondering, what are we doing here? Especially if this is our first go-round at it. And many of us will wonder that throughout our entire seminary education. And those of us who have been in the field for a while, some of you have been pastors for a long time, know that those doubts still trickle in. Situations arise where you wonder, should I have handled that student differently? Should I have worked with that person in a certain way in which maybe he or she wouldn't have gone that time? It took me a long time in pastoral ministry to stop owning my personal problems, because I doubted my own efficiency, my own ability to have all the answers, to always be God's man at the right time in the right way. I'm not capable of doing that. You aren't either. The good news today is not that there are doubts or that there are situations where we will make the wrong decision, but first of all, that God will use that doubt, as simple as it is, to His glory. When Moses doubted whether he was the right spokesman for God, and Jeremiah knew that he was just too young to perform for God, when Thomas doubted whether it was the Lord, even when St. Paul writes about praying fervently to the Lord and wondering if the Lord would remove his thorn in the flesh, each time God came back to the doubt, to the question, to the inability of the people, the weakness of it all, and provided his strength. And some of you can attest to that, boldly make testimony that God used doubt, whether it was about an occupation in which you worked and weren't perhaps satisfied or fulfilled. God used that, didn't he? sends you direction to bring you to this place. And God will take all of the doubts we have and wrap them up and give us answers. Sometimes in His good bidding, but always taking doubt and making good of it. See, the devil's trying to do just the opposite. An old story goes that the devil was advertising his tools and putting them up for sale. And then the day of the sale, the tools were placed for public inspection. He set a sale price on it. They were a treacherous lot of instruments. There was hatred and envy, jealousy, deceit, lying, pride. But made apart from all of the other implements is a harmless looking tool, well worn, priced very high. What's the name of that tool last night of purchases? The devil replied, well, that destroyed me. Why did Christ get so high? Because it is more useful than the others, replied Satan. I can pry it open and get inside a man's heart. I cannot get anywhere with that implement, with other implements in my tenuous outline. Once I get inside, I can make him be as I choose. And it's badly wrong, you see, because I use it on everyone. Few people know it belongs to me. Devil is trying to discourage us this summer. He'll do it next this fall. He'll do it all the way along our educational route. He's going to do it once our formal ministries begin. And that's what we have to recognize, as our text says, that God is for us. And in the midst of our doubt and question, beyond the shadow of a doubt, God enters in. Because we know that God is not only going to take that doubt, those questions, and work them for good, but that He has once and for all taken upon Himself all of our sin, all of our doubts, and in the person of Jesus Christ, established once and for all time, the fact that we are here, that we are His spokesman, that He is the Lord, that even in the midst of our adversity, when I am weak, then He is strong. And that's how the entire conclusion of Romans 8 unfolds. He would not show His own Son, Paul said. No one can bring any charge against God's elect. It is God who justifies. It is Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead. It is Jesus Christ who intercedes for us. Nobody separates us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. And He takes us from tribulation and distress right on through the sword into death, and out of this natural life, into the supernatural, into any other universe that might exist. Not even death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not the height nor depth of anything. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is how God takes our doubt, our depression, and is not enabled with the devil's clutching of discouragement and despair to overcome us. And so we have a real firm this morning. Wherever we are, whether we're struggling through Hebrew, or whether we have to face budget as administrators, or when we're putting a new course together, or if we've got concerns at home, or financial obligations that keep crashing down upon us, or whatever it is, beyond the shadow of a doubt, we are more than conscious to Him who loves us. And that's the second point of what He proclaims to us today. Not only that He can take our doubt in the person of Jesus Christ and heal the injuries and the sufferings and make good come from evil, but that it is personal. So each one of us, go back through that text again and see how it unfolds. God is for us. No God's elect are not condemned, but justified. We are not separated. We are more than conquerors. Nothing separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The doubts still remain. The questions will still arise. God will still reshape our present and our future. But just as he has accomplished law in the person of Jesus Christ, he will do so in your life. And we as clergy to be, as active lay people within the kingdom of God, need to hear this perhaps more than anyone else, not so that we can share it with others, but we who often want to take the whole weight of it upon ourselves, hear from God again today, it is for you. For me, it's ours. Yes, Jesus Christ is our Lord. We are conquerors in his name. May that not only dispel our doubts and calm our fears about what God's doing in our lives, but may we take hold of it personally and know that it is ours for the glory of God and for our good. Amen.